So let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for what you have been doing in your church. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for the seal of approval upon this church. We thank you, Lord, for the strength you have given us to keep serving you. We thank you, O Lord, for showing us your faithfulness. My Father, my God, as many as we hear your word this morning, they will start to live a transformed life in Jesus' name. Nobody will live below what you have intended for them anymore in Jesus' name. My Father, my God, our success is in our obedience to you. Lord, give us willing hearts to yield ourselves totally to you from today in Jesus' name. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Once again, it's so good to have you in the church this morning. I want to share with us a topic we are very, very well familiar with. And this is because it's so crucial if we are going to be where God wants us to be and who God intends for us to be. We can never say too much about it. It's something that has to be our watchword. As I shared with us today, Lord, we touch every life here today in Jesus' name. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 6. That's where we're going to be. Romans, chapter 1, verse 1 to 6. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. I want you to take note of verse 5 especially. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, and among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read verses 5 and 6 from another version. It says, it is through him that we have received grace, God's unmerited favor, and our apostleship to promote obedience to the faith. Somebody say, promote obedience. Promote obedience. and make disciples for his name's sake among all the nations. And this includes you, call of Jesus Christ, and invited as you are to belong to him. Paul made clear the purpose of his calling, that his calling is, or the purpose of his calling was purely to disciple people. And in discipling people, to promote obedience to the word of God. And he said, you are also called to do the same thing. You are also called for the same purpose. So the purpose for which God has called us is to promote obedience to him. So I'm going to share with you this morning the power in obedience to the faith. Because there is a power that is inherent in obedience to the faith. That is why obedience to God has and needs to be promoted. I remember telling us earlier on in the Sunday school, I said, look, if the reason you come to church is for personal development, when you feel that you are already developed, you won't serve God anymore. But if the reason you have come to God is in obedience to him and to promote obedience to him, irrespective of where you find yourself in life, you will continue to serve him. Because there is power in obedience to the faith. And that power is what we want to talk about. We've said it without number that God is a God of purpose. God does not just do things because he wants to do them. He does things, whatever he does it for a purpose. And that's why God is not wasteful. If God did not think that there's need for 6 billion people, there would not be 6 billion people on earth. He's not wasteful. He gives for the purpose of you using it for an identified need or purpose. Every time God does something, he does it for a purpose. In other words, God is a problem solver and he meets needs of people. He meets the needs of the earth. He meets the needs of the universe. He meets the needs of heaven. Everything, if you look at the Bible very well, God, you know, takes steps when there is a need. The Bible makes us to understand that there was confusion at the beginning of creation. He said, I like the Yoruba way of putting it. He said everything was in total confusion. God saw a need for order. That was why he decreed and put order. He brought in day, he brought in night. And even when everything was created, he saw that there was a need. To guide what he had created. So he created man and gave him a supervisory role. After he created man, he saw a need in the life of man. And the Bible said that God saw that the man should not be alone. He created a help that was meet for him. So he solved another problem there. You know, he met another need there. And of course, we know the story that man fell. There was a need for remission of sins and reconciliation. Again, God took a step. As we discuss in the house fellowship, because God has said the wages of sin is death, God will never go back on his words. Somebody had to die. So bulls, lambs, goats, all sorts of things died to remit sin, but they could not remit it, because it's the soul that sin that will have to pay for it until Jesus came and had to die in your place and in my place. Because the word of God will not go unfulfilled. And that's why I will say this morning, everything that God has spoken concerning you will not go unfulfilled in your life in Jesus' name. So every move of God can be accounted for by a need God perceived. So if you look at God's pattern of doing things, that each time God takes a step, he takes a step because there is a need to be met. It then cannot be far-fetched to say that God created you because there are needs to be met. In other words, God created you for a purpose. One of our brothers came out and said that he knew that the reason he's here is for a purpose. It's not by accident. That's correct. God created you for a purpose and to meet needs. And for us to have a fulfilled life is to discover the needs for which we are created. Anyone who has not found that need and begin to meet the need for which they have been created have not really discovered themselves. That is what some people call your own niche in the kingdom. You will find your own niche in the kingdom in Jesus' name. So in other words, to live a fulfilled life is to know why God created you and why he called you to be his own. And every journey that is away from this is a wasted journey. Your journey on earth will not be wasted in Jesus' name. You know what? You may be the reason why I'm created. I may be the reason for which you are created. So that you are actually meeting somebody's needs. That is why every opportunity we have to embrace the will of God must be taken with both hands. Every opportunity God gives us to plunge us into his will and his purpose, even as you hear the word of God today. When you read the word of God and the word of God directs you to something. When God leads the pastor to say, look, this is the way, this is what God wants, the role God wants you to play. It's better you embrace it. You know, the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and does it not, it's a sin. Once God opens your eyes to see how you are to fulfill or to meet a need in somebody's life, if you don't do that, then you are not playing your role. Do you know that sometimes some people have been created for a single purpose? You find out that every other thing that they do around that, everything they do that leads to it is just like an addition. Jesus knew the reason why he came. That was why when the time came for him to suffer, he said, for this purpose, I've been waiting for this hour, because for this purpose was I to come to the earth. You will discover the purpose for which you have come in Jesus' name. In the same way, one of the things that I've learned to realize or learned to appreciate over time is this. Is that some people may come to your life at a particular time to meet a particular need. And after they've met that need, they leave. A lot of times we just cry, we miss people, we felt hard done by. It should not be so. That is one of the things I've learned in life. That sometimes God just put me in somebody's life for that period. And after my assignment is finished, somebody moves on. See you later. Praise God. The only role that I have, that you have, that is constant and should be permanent, is the role of obeying God when he calls. Every time he moves you. The reason why our obedience to God has to be perpetual is because the blessings of obedience and the power that comes from it is not for people who do it and give up midway. In Galatians 6, verse 9. Galatians 6, verse 9 tells us that we are going to reap the reward of our service based on one condition. What is that condition? Galatians 6:9. It says, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap. On what basis? If we faint not. In other words, if it is a continuous thing, it means when we serve the Lord, and we come to a point and say, lo, I've served the Lord for 20 years. I think I'm due for retirement. Do you know how God has used me in the life of people? I think if I stop helping now, I think I've done enough. Will you be rewarded? He said, if you faint not. I've been hurt. Therefore, I would never do good to anyone again. Are you going to be rewarded? He said, if we faint not. God already knew that it was going to be difficult. Do you know that sometimes just like Jesus, do you know that sometimes you really have to struggle in order to be helpful? Did somebody hear that? You really want to make yourself useful, and you really have to fight the urge to make yourself useful. And the reason is because it's only those who faint not that God will reward. You will not faint in Jesus' name. So I want to submit that the place of obedience is the place of power in your life. And that you are empowered by your obedience in God. In case there's somebody who is faint-hearted this morning, I want to encourage you. In case in life, you know this saying, the more you see, the less you understand. If you are getting to that point in life that nothing seems to be meaningful to you anymore, I want to encourage you. In case you have been so disappointed that people you've held in very high esteem have disappointed you, you then discover that what you think was the case is no longer the case. I want to encourage you, because your reward and your empowerment is in your not fainting. It's your continued obedience that gives you hope and assurance for the ultimate reward. Who says that the Christian living sometimes cannot be hard going? You may think I'm the only one who feels that way. Paul said, "Who born that I do not born? Who suffer that I do not suffer? Who groans in pain that I do not groan in pain? Who is weak that I'm not weak? Who goes through this period that I don't go through this period as well?" That was the experience of Paul. In other words, if you have come to a point in your Christian life and it looks like you don't know the way to go, in order to maintain your assurance for the ultimate reward, you better don't faint. We cannot afford to faint. One of the things that make people faint so easily is when it looks like those who don't know God are being rewarded. It looks like they are flourishing, and you ask yourself, I say, I'm a child of God. This person doesn't even go to church. He doesn't even pray. Look at his life. I want to let you know this morning that you are looked at from a different standard. God has a different standard for you, different from that person who has not come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, or somebody who came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and have fallen back. Your assurance for a hope for tomorrow is when you refuse to faint. You will not faint in Jesus' name. That's why I like Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 11. Let's look at an example there. Philippians 2, 5 to 11 says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. I will not even read the rest. We know how God, you know, gave him a name that is above every name, and at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. But the first thing that happened is that Jesus forgot about his reputation, in order to accomplish the purpose for which God has called him. And the thing that gave him hope was that he was looking forward to what God was going to do. He was looking forward to what heaven was going to do. Your obedience is what will give you that hope. It's so wonderful to know that you are in the will of God. You know what? None of us knows what our last moment on earth will be. How many of us can guarantee it? To say, this is what I will be doing when the Lord will come. I mean, when the Lord will come, finally, to take everyone home. He may choose to take us home individually before his final arrival. Is that not right? Nobody can guarantee that this is what he is going to be doing at the time that the Lord will arrive. Will say, look, for you, your time is up. Will say to me, my time is up. That is why the Bible tells us to walk our salvation with what? With fear and with trembling, because we do not know the time that the Lord may choose to visit you and I. But when we live in obedience, that obedience to the Lord gives us that hope, irrespective of when Jesus may choose to come, irrespective of when God may choose to call us. If the Lord tarries and he says, as an individual, he wants to call me home, I can be assured of the ultimate reward. None of us will miss our crowns in Jesus' name. I know not a lot of people talk about crown in heaven anymore. You remember I told you the song we used to sing in those days. They call it FCS. And we could sing this song for minutes. My home in heaven, oh how beautiful. 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 And we'll be singing, 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 singing. Most of the song that I sing, that I hear and I see now, nobody talks about home in heaven. I am blessed. I'm enriched. I am powerful. I've overcome everybody. Praise the Lord. No, that's the song we sing. It's our obedience in God that ensures that ultimately we will reign with Jesus, and you will reign with him in Jesus' name. Please, I'm not against people doing well. In fact, it's your inheritance. It's just that first and first is your inheritance. I told you salvation is a package. There should be no part of it missing. Praise the Lord. It is that obedience that gives us the anointing for success. In other words, anointing for success comes with obedience. Some things will not come to pass in our lives. Please, let's take note of this. Until we take a step to obey God. Some things will never fall into place. We may hear the word from now till Jesus comes. But when you hear the word here, and you walk out of this place and you say, because God spoke to me today, I am taking a step to enact what God said, you will see that God will lead you into the success of your life in Jesus' name. There is a man called Smith Wigglesworth. Many of us have heard of him. You probably have read of him. He was described as a simple man. He was a plumber by trade. You've read of him? Smith Wigglesworth. He was a plumber. In fact, he was unable to make correct sentences. He had speech problems. And again, I don't know, maybe because of his speech problem. You know, if you have problems speaking, sometimes it can lead to frustration. He was described as being very coarse in his behavior. Do you know what happened to him? It is on record that God used him to raise at least 20 dead people in his lifetime. What Smith Wigglesworth did not do was to look at his shortcomings. He looked at the great God that called him, and he made a success of it. You make a success of the call of God upon your life in Jesus' name. Late Pastor Arthur, who used to be in this church, he was dyslexic. Reading, writing, and spelling was his problem. Until he enrolled in the Bible school to become a pastor, he became a good speller. He became a good reader. Do you know that sometimes the circumstance of your life can act as a camouflage to cover your eyes and stop you from seeing where God wants you to want to take you to? That particular impediment, that particular thing that appears to be an area of weakness in your life, may actually be hiding where God wants to take you to. God wants somebody who will just take a step in that very, very particular area and say, this is what I want. Look, I share this story with my children. I have two or three of my classmates or friends. One of them failed surgery when we were finishing. Do you know what he's doing today? He's a surgeon. Praise the Lord. He failed surgery. Today, he's a surgeon. He got angry. I say, you that I failed. In fact, he decided to specialize in that area. I know somebody who failed his obs and gynae. Today, he has specialized in that field. That area of your life that it looks like the devil is trying to torment you, look at it very well. The Lord wants to give you victory, and he will give you victory in Jesus' name. Psalm 68 verse 9. Or Psalm 68. I'll read verse 6 and 9. I want to show something. Because your success is in your obeying God to take the necessary step. I don't know if you, many of us will probably know this verse. It says, and God settled the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which abound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. In other words, the obedient can be rest assured that they are going to enjoy the abundance of God. Verse 9. He said, thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thy inheritance when it was weary. In other words, when you live an obedient life, when your strength should be failing you, God will confirm you with his wonders. God will confirm you with his provisions. God will confirm your obedience by helping you to victory. God will confirm your obedience by strengthening you. Isn't God wonderful? Just by simple act of obedience, it may look foolish to the ordinary eyes. He said he confirms his people. He confirmed, thou didst confirm thy inheritance when it was weary. God will confirm you in Jesus' name. In other words, God will prove you. When you ought to have failed, that's when God will come out on your behalf. When everybody should be saying, oh yes, you didn't make it, you didn't do, God will just come and change something in your circumstance and turn the situation around for your good in Jesus' name. That is God confirming you. I keep telling people, a lot of people, are having Red Sea being parted before them every day and they refuse to see. That's why when you say come give testimony, people who don't know to come and give testimony, Red Sea is being parted before you every day because God is confirming you and you don't realize it. The good thing about obedience is that you carry the authority of the one sending you. I've been telling us, I said, you don't know what it is like to carry the authority of heaven. How many of us have ever been stopped by off-duty policemen here or off-duty policemen? How many of us? Off-duty policemen. Praise Lord, praise God. Do you know that if you're a policeman in this land, you don't have to be on duty to arrest somebody? If somebody is over speeding, if somebody crosses the red light, you hear that an off-duty policeman just arrested them. Why? Because he carries the authority of the government. He may even be on leave. He may be away from work. He won't be in uniform. He will arrest you. When you live in obedience, you carry the authority of the one that is sending you. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. That is why when we seek the face of God, it's more than a multitude of advice. So that we understand the mind of God and do what God wants us to do. I've been telling people, I said, look, what God is doing, as few as we are here, what God is doing, it's not man that can do it. When you look at, you know, when you look at families of five, families of three, families of four, and they are breaking up, how much more? People from diverse backgrounds, and we come together like this. Don't you know it's God that has been sustaining us? Is only God. And that is why we have no option but to do everything in obedience to the word of God. The moment we stop obeying God, what happens is that the one that steals, kills, and destroys will enter in. He will not enter into your life in Jesus' name. It's our obedience that is a defense. So that in the day of trouble, in the day of affliction, in the day of diseases, the Lord will rise on our behalf. The Lord will rise on your behalf in Jesus' name. Let's open our Bible. It was quite profound how God makes a separation between those who are obedient to Him and those who don't care about Him. Ezekiel 9, 3 to 6. He said, and the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's ink horn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go, read this particular verse very well. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abomination that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite, let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my where? Begin at my sanctuary. Now you can understand 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, that says, judgment shall start in the household of God. That was prophet Ezekiel receiving that vision. And God said, come, make a mark upon every man that is dissatisfied with the way the world is going around them. Make a mark upon every man that wants to see godliness prevail. Make a mark upon every man that wants to be obedient to me and my counsel. Make a mark upon every man that wants to live godly in the land. So it's not a matter of proportion. God is not a gambler that will say, because there are so many people on this side, I'm changing my mind. No. He just said, God did not care whether there were many people or there were few people. He just said, come, make a mark. Look at all those who sigh, all those who are dissatisfied and say, the way the world is going is not pleasant to me. I will choose to live godly. And the angel of the Lord came and made a mark upon them. And he called other angels and said, look, begin to strike in the city. Begin to destroy, whether young, old, or whoever. But upon everyone that has the mark, spear them. In the day of trouble, the Lord will spare you in Jesus' name. But your obedience is your defense. There is nothing as good as knowing that you are in the will of God for your life. When King Ezekiah was told that he was going to die, why do you think he had 15 more years added to his life? It was because King Ezekiah was living in obedience to God. He reminded God, I said, God, in the days when other people were going astray, I stood for you. I did this for you. I did that for you. God, won't you have mercy on me? And God remembered him. When God remembers you, he will remember your obedience to him in Jesus' name. The other thing is that he may remember somebody for disobedience. Will God hear him? He will not. But when God remembers your obedience, when God remembers, you know, your sacrifice, when God remembers your labor of love, when God remembers how you have been able to stand for him in the multitude, he will not allow you to be put to shame. It is the weapon for effectiveness in the ministry into which God has called you. The first thing is that everyone who will succeed with God must be where God wants him to be. When John the Baptist was coming, where was he assigned to? Where was his ministry supposed to be? In the wilderness. He was eating what? Honey and locust. If John had transferred himself to the city, would he have succeeded? He said, hear ye the voice of he that cry in the wilderness. His voice had to emanate from the wilderness. That was why he succeeded. And Jesus said, of all those that were born of women, there was none greater than John the Baptist. I've shared it before. And the Bible actually records that John did not do a single miracle. Read the Bible. Did he do any miracle? All that John did was to preach. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And if you want to say more, he would just say, look, there comes a man after, you know, greater than me, who the laces of whose shoes I'm not worthy to hold. The laces of whose shoes I'm not worthy to do. He said, repent. And that was all. And that was all that God called him to do. That was the purpose for which he was created. And because he met that, he didn't even go beyond that. Oh, he didn't do any. He didn't raise the dead. He didn't make the blind to see. But he had fulfilled the counsel of God for his life. You fulfill the counsel of God for your life in Jesus' name. It's a very, very, very effective weapon to live in obedience when you call yourself a child of God. Because, let me just tell you Lord, another story again. What about Abraham and Lot? The reason Abraham succeeded, when Lot said, look, let's divide the place, I will tell you, it doesn't matter where Abraham took. In fact, he did not take the lush portion. God changed it. When you are living in obedience to God, God will turn the situation around for your good in Jesus' name. Just in the same vein, when God asked the apostles to tarry ye in Jerusalem and wait, if they had, the power from on high would not have come upon them. That was what changed the life of fearful Peter to the point that he became fearless. God called him. But if he had not been obedient to God, he would not have received what God wanted to. Time and timeliness. It's wonderful to be timely in the things of God. Peter needed boldness, and that boldness came. Everything that you need to succeed in life, the Lord will begin to supply to you from today in Jesus' name. Amen. That's why we must know. We must not be like the people of the land. You must never leave the place of your assignment. When they come to a place like this, they become too civilized. Where God has called them to, they just abandon it. It doesn't matter to them anymore. Sometimes it may be your secular job that God has called you into. Even though it may look small, as we saw last week, God may be waiting to do. Make sure you hear expressly from Him. Sometimes some relationships may be the place where God has put your blessing. Don't be in a hurry to just dismiss and destroy that relationship. God might have positioned you for a specific purpose in your extended family. Don't think because you are blessed now, everyone else is, they are below me. I can't even talk to them anymore. It is your obedience that precedes your public approval. Did somebody hear that? Your obedience precedes your public approval. Can you imagine? When he came to John the Baptist to be baptized, and John said, "Who am I to baptize you?" Jesus said, "Suffer it to be so. Let it be like that, that we might fulfill what? All righteousness." Let it be so. In other words, the King of Glory humbled himself before a mortal man. He said, "Let it be so." And the moment he did that and he was baptized, what happened? Approval came because God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." God will be pleased in you in Jesus' name. Public approval comes after obedience to God. If you have not learned to be obedient to God in the secret, how can God display you publicly? He will not. What's going to happen? You will disappoint Him. Because you have not been skilled in the things that God wants you to do. Before God was going to make Moses to lead the children of Israel, Moses had practiced in the wilderness, in the desert for a long time, didn't he? For 40 years he practiced. You know what? God told Moses, when he sent Moses to go to Pharaoh, and Moses was flustering and wondering, he said, "What will I tell them? Who do I say has sent me?" God said to him, "Put your hand in your armpit. Put your right hand in your left armpit." And he did so. He said, "Bring it out." He brought it out. What did he see? Leprosy. He said, "Put it back." He put it back. "Bring it out." He was whole. "What's in your hand?" I say, "It's a staff, a stick." He said, "Put it down, put it down." In other words, God had groomed him. He had practiced well. That's why when he got before Pharaoh, he wasn't freaking. He had done it before, so he knew God. He just displayed it. He would just put it down. If God has not schooled you, he would never display you publicly, because he cannot trust you. The Lord would trust you and would display you publicly in Jesus' name. That's why we do exams. Exams separate people. God used obedience to separate people. You don't know. Many of us are saying, yeah, I'm praying to God. I do things to God. Let me tell you something. What is separating you from the other person is your obedience to God. Until that day, we learn to be obedient to God. He uses it to separate. When schools do exams, what do? They want to separate people. To know who has listened to the teacher and will do things the way the teacher said it should be done. Is that not right? That exam is merely for separation, isn't it? So that these people can go there and these people can go to that place. Period. Simple. It's not for anything else but to separate people. It's not to humiliate someone. It's just to separate. The same thing that God does. Until we have learned that period of, to be obedient to Him, He cannot take us to that level. He will take you to a higher height in Jesus' name. Now, let me tell you something as we close. You are not alone in obeying God. Even when you cannot see multitude following. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says there are angels that hearken to the voice of the word of God. In other words, anyone who would choose to be obedient to the word of God, there are also angels that are obeying that same word at the time you are obeying. In other words, you are not alone. That is why they will bear you up. And the Bible says they will let you dash your foot against a stone. It's the same angel that obey the voice of the word of God that will come with you. Remember what happened with Elisha and the servant. And when they were surrounded by the Syrian army, Elisha prayed and said, "Father, open his eyes." And he opened the eyes of his servant. And what did he see? He saw multitude of angels. He wasn't ordinary human being. We were angels on guard. He said, "Those who are for us are more than those that are against us." You will see the victory of Jesus in your life in Jesus' name. In other words, every time you are obedient to God, you are keeping company with angels. Every time you choose to be obedient to God, you are doing what? You are keeping company with angels. In other words, every time you choose not to be obedient to God, you are keeping company with men. Because men are not known to be obedient. Look, I'm telling you, when God sent Ezekiel to the people, I had to go and check that word again. He said, "For my people, they are impudent." In other words, they have no regard for anybody. They have no. He said, "My people are impudent." He said, "Yet I sent you to them." He said, "Do not look at their faces. Do not." So, which means when Ezekiel went there, it was not Ezekiel alone. The host of heaven was with him. The host of heaven will be with you in Jesus' name. There is power in your obedience. Can we just rise up today? Can we just rise up? There is power. It puts you in a place of authority, a place of dominion, a place of breakthrough. If you just take that step to reorder your life, to start to live in obedience to God, you are not weak, rather you are strong. You are waiting to be schooled. That is what God is doing during that period of your life that you are waiting on Him. You have been schooled for the greater revelation to come. We are going to end the service with thanksgiving. But just before we take this song, we'll just dance for like 2 minutes. Before we take the song, can you just pray this prayer and say, "Father, I pray that you always meet me in the place of obedience in Jesus' name." Speak to the Lord, because that is the place of your strength. That is the place of your miracle. That is the place of your abundance. That is the place of your excellency. That is the place of your promotion. That is the place of your joy. That is the place of your victory. That is the place of your peace. That is the place of your overcoming. The place of obedience to the word of God. The place of obedience. The place of obedience. Oh yes, when God speaks, do not count the cost. The benefit will always outweigh the cost to your life. You can only profit and prosper by it. When God speaks, it is time to move. When God speaks, it is time to arise. When God commands, it is time to do what he has said to do. When God says stop, it is time to stop. When God says go, it is time to go. It is time to hearken to the voice of the Lord in your life. I don't know where you have been wrestling with the Lord. Is the time for your breakthrough? Your time to give up that thing? Is the time that God will see you through? Your time to move in obedience to the word of God? Is the time that your breakthrough will come? Oh yes, pray that God will meet you in the place of obedience right now in Jesus' name. Lanche Koribo. Thank you, Jesus. We have heard your word, oh God. Our lives have been changed daily. Our lives are being translated daily. We are in a place of obedience. We are in a place of yieldedness. We are in a place of yielding to your word, oh God. Have your way in our lives. Take your rightful place right now in Jesus' name. In everyone that has spent 40 years instead of 40 days. My Father, my God, I decree that the journey of confusion has come to an end in your lives in Jesus' name. Lord, to the one that is barren of ideas, to the one that it has been said nothing good can come out of them, did they not say the same thing of Jesus? I decree a change of fortune for you from today in Jesus' name. To the one who is at the point of giving up right now, to the one who is saying it is too hard, only that God wants to meet you in the place of obedience. From today, you'll be saying it is too easy. I say you'll be saying it is too easy in Jesus' name. To the one who has received evil report, and you have been told that when it happens this way, the end is often not pleasant, I change every bitterness in your life to sweetness right now in Jesus' name. That evil report, I tear it in Jesus' name. Begin to receive good report right now. I say begin to receive good report in Jesus' name. Begin to receive good report in Jesus' name. Round about you, good report in Jesus' name. Every area of your life, begin to receive good report in Jesus' name. Report of success, report of breakthrough in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Your people are positioned and ready. Ready for the blessings of heaven. Because we are in a place of obedience. Lord, when you look down on us, oh Lord, you'll be pleased with us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. So please.